This podcast is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky stuff. You know, any film that we talk about here, we recommend you see in advance. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
The horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
The horror.
You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The horror.
Alive. It's alive.
Groovy.
Hello and welcome to another brand new episode of Oh, the Horror. It's a look at modern and classic horror films from an expert and a newcomer's perspective. I'm the newcomer, Steve Allman.
And I'm the expert, Rob Holmes.
And we're a little late this week, and thank you so much for your patience. I had an absolute doozy of a day at work. Not to immediately quote Tucker and Dale, but that's kind of just how the cookie crumbled that day. Left Rob twisting in the wind, and now we're back on a Wednesday evening to drop you a late breaking episode of quite a horror film that we got now.
Oh yeah, we did 2007's Inside, directed by Alexander Bastillo and Julian Mori. So
these guys.
This is a French film. It's part of the French New Wave horror. It is intense, man. It is one hell of a thrill ride.
Brief rundown. 4 months after the death of her husband, a woman on the brink of motherhood is tormented in her home by a strange woman who wants her unborn baby. Now,
and by wants, we mean like she wants to cut it out of you.
She wants it real bad.
That's how bad she wants it. She's like, hey, I know you're going to have to give birth tomorrow, but I want it now.
Yeah, express delivery. This is prime shipping, even though for a day early. Anyway, so this is like the second, this is like the third French horror film that we've tackled on this show here. And I don't know, this might rank amongst the highest of, of the three, but I don't think, this is certainly better than our last one. I'll say that. Inside struck me as something that's, I kind of feel like this movie should have been made like maybe like 10 years later, like in 2017. I wish this movie was made then.
Well, they did a remake in 2015, so
well,
let's
just hope that that was just as good and then we don't need to even delve into this topic. But I say that because every once in a while, this is a wonderfully directed movie, by the way. I'm going to start off the bat with some praise here. This is wonderfully directed. It looks very, it looks fascinating. It's a fascinating looking film in that it plays with shadow and contrast and making things seem like otherworldly and dreamlike very, very well. In an insanely brilliant kind of way, which we'll talk about in a minute. But every once in a while, there would be like some sort of editing or needle drop or some kind of weird thing that I was like, okay, that's 2007 edgy horror filmmaking right there. That I feel like there are weird ways that this film dates itself in a way that like I can just tell that it's made in the early or in the mid 2000s. Rather than like actually saying that it is, am I coming across as weird?
No, not necessarily. I mean, it was right at that kind of tail end of like extreme French cinema, like where they really were pushing the boundaries. Like Inside really definitely pushed it to a limit. Frontières came out, and then you know we had Martyrs and a few others after that. I mean, it was all about pushing the limits of what you can put on film and really making an intense tapestry of everything. Like you have the music, which is fascinating. The sound design in this film.
Oh my God, I actually love this soundtrack.
It's so good. And like that with the cinematography, with the copious amounts of blood, the practical effects. I mean, the only thing that I always am like, about a little bit, but then I kind of forget about it, is like the CGI baby inside the body.
Yeah. I want to save that for a minute.
Right, and we should, because, and we should. But like, yeah, it just...
I think the absolute best thing that this movie has going for it is a wonderful sense of progression of tension. Because we have a very, very simple premise that while seemingly outlandish, I'm very glad was like hunkered down in this one house. Because again, with the idea of martyrs and this, like you can kind of draw some similar parallels. This is by nowhere near as like torture porn-y in the sense that it's that for that sake. But they're always like, we're always trying to find some sort of plot contrivance to actually like, not so much justify, but like, all right. Why does a woman want to cut a baby out of a woman's stomach? We will find out in a minute. But, like, that's kind of the whole crux of the film. And you can tell early on, because this film is probably from the jump teasing that moment.
Once we're
confronted with our antagonist here, it's almost immediate that that's what she's here for.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then instead of being thrown into what would be a generic Stranger in the House type film where nothing really happens and it's a lot of just thrills, this and that, we get a lot of interesting layers to it. We get character introductions that appear in this house. So she's not just being stalked the entire time and trying to hide and fight back. Other victims end up showing up and are dispatched in a variety of ways. Like, it's not simple. These deaths are very gratuitous and very extreme and over the top. And they stand out. That's like a big thing with this, is that the gore really is presented in a way where it kind of takes the forefront, but in an artful way.
Right, yeah. So in building up to our kind of conflict with the woman as she's billed in the cast, she's shown off so amazingly when we have a sort of introduction of a knock on the door and her face is kind of... I can't put my finger on why, but I know like the perfect silhouette of somebody when I see it, and that was the perfect silhouette of a killer to be, of the, like, it's, she's perfectly backlit with the street lamps. It's not so much through like a fisheye lens of a keyhole, but it almost illustrates that. You can see where it feels natural and also very menacing and stylized. It's so good looking. And like that amazing sort of dialogue between like, you know who I am, open the door and you'll find out. And it's not, she's never that menacing in this first encounter. And then we see her in the backyard and she's just full bodied silhouette. Still don't see her, amazingly lit in the face, just the eyes with the cigarette. Perfect.
Yeah, the cigarette so was good. Like, the cigarette was the major selling point of that. It worked extremely well. And actually, her character in general with the cigarette, it was a character trait the entire movie, is that, you know, she's always grabbing a cigarette no matter what. And, you know, eventually it does lead to her downfall. So it's this interesting thing to see, you know, she's introduced with it, and it almost seems like this power thing that she ends up having over Sarah, right?
I think it's more of a reflection of her own confidence and control of the situation.
Right.
She feels confident enough to keep smoking.
Exactly. Well, in the beginning, you see her with it, and it's this like scary thing where you just see her silhouette, and then you just see the cherry of the cigarette just go and light up like that, and you're like, holy crap. And it's just such a bold thing for a character to do, I think, as an introduction for a villain. That when it ends up leading to her downfall, somewhat downfall, disfiguration, it was cool to see that they had that go throughout, and that a character trait ended up paying off. Because a lot of the times, in a lot of films, character traits they're just there, but they don't really
Or sort of the fun quirk that like right. a character might have.
Or they're shoehorned in, and it's something that's pushed in where you're like, oh, this is going to come back at the end of the film to like, you know,
like,
be
I can clearly see why this is going to be the yeah
right.
It's very on the nose type of placement in the character's like repertoire or whatever.
And this didn't seem that way because it was spread throughout the entire film, which was really cool. I enjoyed that
exactly. And to keep adding to the momentum that this movie has, it actually very easily plays with expectations of a sort of invader in the house sort of scenario, because like getting into like again when she's actually inside the house, like looming over her in the bed at the first intro, like again horrifying just to see, because it was like it's so ghostly. She's like a ghost as she moves through the house in the beginning, and we don't see her face. She's like sniffing the baby clothes and all of the maternity things, and then she comes back with the scissors and like
the scissors, man, like so gently,
just, like, gently and like almost seductively just nicks her belly button, and like an explosion of like fight, bang, boom, like it's very very quick and effective, glorious, and then she Sarah locks herself in the bathroom.
Right,
just seemingly in terror.
So let's go back to that. Let's go back to that first scene though of the belly with the scissors, and as you said, it's this graceful way of pulling across the belly. But when she gets to the belly button,
it makes like a thud. It makes like a interesting like.
It does that. Yeah, like it does that little like it falls into the belly button. But then she starts pushing it in, and then that's when you hear like in the sound design that little noise of.
It's like a wince.
And it's so visceral. It's such a visceral moment and directed so well. That's why that moment is so effective. And then it leads into that fight. She hits her with a lamp, and then she locks herself into the bathroom, and then the bathroom becomes an amazing set piece for this film. Like
right, and honestly, I feel like she's seemingly in there for almost half the film. I think the film is at its utmost strongest when she is confined to the bathroom.
It really is. A lot of the best and most insane moments of the film. Well, okay, there are some really crazy ass moments that happen downstairs,
I think where this film is kind of given its time and allowed to breathe and actually allowed to flex its muscles, if you will, is when she's in the bathroom, because. The woman is it's not so much toying, but also in a weird way like provoking aspects of her life to come in, because we have our first like test of like the call for help, you might say, where her friend who was scheduled to check in on her. Her boss, her chief editor, comes in.
I think that's that's like her mom, because like.
The man comes in first.
Oh, no, the guy comes in first. Yeah, that's who it was, yeah.
Yeah,
her
boss, I think, basically comes in.
Yeah, her boss comes in first, and then, he's like, he thinks that the woman is the mom, and it's
right,
like,
it's her mother, yeah.
It's one of these great moments.
She doesn't exactly lie, but she doesn't tell anything. He just, like, she lets him talk and assume, and then she just goes with that.
Which is
a very, very, very clever thing to do.
And that's what makes her a great villain, too, because it's not one of these characters who just jumps into murdering someone right away. They really play with them for a bit and just kind of toy around. And then you don't know. It's like, are they going to kill him? Are they going to let him go? Like, how is this going to go?
The crazier thing. She had an out, and she kept him. She's like, okay, well, I guess I better leave. And she's like, no, stay for a drink. And I'm like, okay, so you got supreme confidence here. Like, I don't know if that was just, like, an offer that she would have just said, and he would have, like, just been like, no, 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 it's fine. Or to just add realism, I guess, to her, like, belief. But, like, it was a test that, like, she passed as an audience member. You're like, all right, she connived her way out of this one, so he'll leave or whatever. But then her mother just shows up in the midst of them having a drink. And then they're like, oh, what? They're like, who are you? And who are both of you? Where's my daughter? I need to see her. She's about to have a baby. And immediately then, in an exceptional like buildup of tension and misunderstanding, like just opens the door, bam, stabs mother in the neck.
Yeah, so that buildup, there's a lot of tension that leads up to this point.
Very well constructed tension as well, because she kept, like, the woman kept both of her friend and the mother quiet, so she thought that she was alone the entire time. Like, it was so well laid out.
But the way that everything builds up to it, to that exact moment where she opens the door and she stabs her mom through the neck. And it reminds me of films like The Descent, you know? It reminds me of those moments, or like Dead Snow or something like that, where it's this big, bold moment, which usually happens a little later, I guess, in the movie, because this was still pretty early on, I think, when this happened. But it's one of those moments where you're just like, oh, holy shit. Like, there's no way that even that this main character is going to be okay ever. Like,
right,
they've crossed that point. Of how do you come back from that? Like, killing a friend in let's say, like, The Descent, maybe you could emotionally come back from eventually, but killing your own mother by accident because someone is trying to cut a baby out of you, like,
right,
that I don't,
it's a,
how
it's
do you
a lot
come back
to kind
from
of
that?
Absorb yeah. from all of that, and she absolutely was just caught up in the heat of the moment thinking that the woman was trying to kill her, justifiably so.
Yeah, and how would she know any different? How would she expect, oh well, my mom just showed up? Like, and it's such a great moment of horror, like really just shock and horror at that moment. And then just seeing when she pulls that thing out and the blood just sprays across the wall.
And then as the man goes to check up on them, easily, like, both taken out at the same time with gruesome fashion on both ends.
Right. And that type of, it's so crazy, this film, because there's help. So many times help shows up. And it seems like, oh, okay, there's enough people showing up. They should be able to take this woman out. But her demeanor is so chill. Like, she never loses her chill when it comes to the people showing up to just murder them. Like, it seems like she's just been waiting her whole life, or has been. Like, I want to know her story, even though we know later on a little bit of it.
I think going back and forth between, like, what kind of like what this villain's deal is, she keeps going back and forth between being like cool, calculating, almost ghostly serial killer crazy lady to very emotionally disturbed and just wrecked individual that she can barely keep herself together in some of these moments. And that was kind of jarring for me because it's weird how they try to juxtapose both in her, because whenever she's either killing somebody or trying to create subterfuge with the people that are attempting to help her or that could ruin her plot, as it were, she's seemingly cool, but like every time that she's failing to get to that baby, she's just insane.
Yeah, it's weird because you want to feel strangely sympathetic for her, because when you find out she did lose her child, since Sarah was the one driving, and I guess I don't know if Sarah caused the crash or the woman.
It's an interesting vague reveal.
And
that
it kind of seems like Sarah caused the crash.
But that's the thing. It's like when you lose your child and you kind of lose your mind along with that,
right,
you can blame anything about that. Wait, even though it was clearly an accident. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, with that, I guess the woman lost her child, you know, and she had talked about how she always wanted to have a kid and it didn't seem possible, and then finally it was, and it was all hers, and then it gets taken away from her. So she's been, you know, apparently stalking Sarah and finding out everything about her, because you see her in the beginning dressed up as a nurse in the hospital. Like, you see her in the beginning smoking there too, and you're just like, okay, this woman has been stalking and knows every, like, she's been planning this for a long time.
Right.
And then
so,
you,
but like before, but I think before we, before I want to get there, I want to touch on another sequence of her seemingly getting help before I think the film starts to lose me a bit. But it's, but I don't, but like, I fall off a bit, but I, again, brilliant lead up to this as well. Before she re-enters the house again, she had called the police and told, like, all right, we're going to have a unit like checking up on you periodically in the night. And we are introduced to these four cops. Well, no, three cops. One of which has apprehended a suspect that was seemingly just like fucking around on Christmas Eve, like tearing shit down, like some misdemeanor, like just a juvenile, like doing innocuous things. But like he's just like arrested for the night, and he's just in the car. So these two detectives go up to the house. They assume that the woman is the mother that they're supposed to look out for. And it's an interesting thing that, like, oh, of course, the cops don't know what she looks like. Like, they don't understand that, like, the woman looks a certain way. And I'm like, wait a minute, look at her stomach. And again, as they leave, thinking that all of this is fine, they realize, like, wait a minute. Something's wrong. And clearly, like, oh yeah, what are you like? And they're so cool and like mafioso about it. They're like, oh yeah, what are you gonna name your kid? As they like kind of just walk on in, as they're clearly confident about the situation now. They're like, yeah, you're full of shit, lady. Which is kind of awesome. So
and then,
as
oh man, then the, that this is where it just gets insane, because you're thinking at this point, all right, they gotta be able to take her out, you know, seems easy.
Right,
enough.
So, but it's also within the realm of believability only because of the situation that the cops put themselves in. Not to say that what they did was dumb, but the way that, like, okay, she's left alone with one, he finds a woman, like, locked in the bathroom. He's like, arrest her. Okay, she's had, like, that little shiv inside of her thing the whole time. She'll stab one guy because that takes somebody by surprise. If she's quick enough, I believe her killing him, that's believable.
Oh no, it's totally believable. It's just one of those moments where you're like, don't leave the one guy to arrest her. Don't, oh god, no, like that's a huge mistake. Anytime they do that in a film, you're just like, god damn it,
right? And it wasn't until a little bit later where I'm just like, okay, what? But leading up to all of this, she kills the one cop. First cop gets the door open from the bathroom. The second his face is
holy
shown to her,
shit,
blam,
gone.
Exploding head.
And that was one of those, like, that took it to a whole new level as well, because you're like, they were just introduced to each other. You thought you were going to get a moment, and no, done. Completely obliterated. It was insane. And then going from there, you know, we get the third cop who grabs this weird ass sawed off shotgun thing.
So here's when the film starts to lose
me. You know, and I know exactly what you're going to say, because the first time I saw this, it lost me as well. So he brings in the perp, right? And the perp is tethered to him. And he's like, there's gunshots. We're going to find out what's going on. And the power goes out.
No. First off.
Well, first, before the power goes out.
Cop and perp and, like, teenage perp tethered together by, like, a carabiner and, a lock. Once you see, like, a legit crime scene, if I'm a police officer, I'm telling that boy to run and get help.
Sure, but this guy
doesn't.
And not,
like, stay with me.
So, you know what? I mean, in this case, let's try and overlook that. And that in itself is an issue, but that's not the big issue that I have that really...
And it, like, I feel cheap, like, picking apart the, like, idiocy of, like, what somebody would or would not do in a real-life situation, because this is such a heightened level of what anything is possible that... I feel bad picking it apart, but also, like, come on. In a weird
way. Yeah, but, you know, I'll forgive that. That actually didn't bother me. I was just like, cool, another victim. That's how I saw it as why they were throwing this character in the film. So, yeah, they go upstairs and they find her, right? And then at that point, the power ends up getting cut off. And, you know, it seems like, okay, the one guy is like, yeah, I'm going to go. Isn't it like the detective who's like, I'm going to go downstairs, or the officer is like, I'm going to go downstairs and check the power, and tells the other guy to stay with her. Yeah. And then you see like the woman walk behind them at one point, and you're just
very cool. Very eerie. Again, very eerie, like, very weird, yeah. Almost omniscient villain that I'm like, okay, you clearly weren't having a panic attack like half an hour ago, but
yeah. So the part that I have the issue with is, we get these two characters end up getting killed. They go downstairs, and one you don't really see die, and the other one you see get, like, stabbed in the head? Is that how?
I believe so.
Yeah, because then the blood just poured out of his skull afterwards, and he just...
Yeah, very, very rough to see.
Very, but it was crazy. It was this great moment of just holding on to that shot and really just letting it play out. And then it looks like, you know, Sarah gets attacked by the woman again, and they have this fight in, I think it's in the kitchen at this point. And the cigarette comes back to bite her in the ass. Like, she ends up torching her in the face.
Yeah, so, like, to...
I loved that moment, man. It was ridiculous, and it definitely pushed it to a almost cartoonish level. But I feel like we've gotten there almost by this point
It's knocking
gore
on the front door of cartoonish when we have this horrendously, like, CGI baby... Which, for, like, it seemed like that served no purpose. I want to talk about the CGI baby in the womb cam, if you will. So, it's every time that she is either, stressed or bludgeoned or something happens to her that could affect the baby, you have, like, this womb cam that I'm going to call it, where... It's like you see inside of this very well-lit womb this CGI baby that is reacting almost comically to all of these things that are happening to her mother.
It shows a lot of emotion for a... But, I mean, it's about to be a newborn, so... I mean, it's going to... You know, she's about to have the baby the next day, so it's, you know... I get your issue with it. I have the exact same problem with it. I don't find it necessary.
It's wholly unnecessary.
It's wholly unnecessary. I think it's gratuitous for the fact of, okay, we're going to show what's happening to the baby when we know what's happening.
And it's really bad CGI as well. It's not great.
And it takes you out of it. Yeah, it definitely takes you out of what this film is and what it's going for.
Exactly. I think as it's barking up once it gets to its essential third act, it kind of just, like, falls off the tracks a little bit for me, because we have such cartoonish violence by then when it was... It begins to be like an all-out showdown brawl at that point.
Yeah, I don't know,
like,
if...
she has an out. Like, she bites off, like, the lip of the woman, seemingly stays inside when she could have left the house.
I don't know where she's really... I don't really know where she's going to go at that point. I mean, she could... Yeah, she said people are having parties nearby, so she could have gone just down the street and found another house. The thing that gets me is that she has the chance to just kill this woman and finish her off, and it looks like that's what's going to happen. We get the explanation from the woman saying why she did what she did. We, you know, and we're like, oh, shit, that sucks. It's this fucked up thing. She's all burned up. Like, her face is half melted away. It's crazy looking. And then the part that just gets me, and it seems so out of place, was that, boom, the lights just come back on, and this one cop who's, like, you'd think is dead is there, but his eyes are gone. This is where it took me out of it, because she goes up to him or something, and, like, he just attacks her. And she tries to, like, get his attention, and he just b- beats the living shit out of her and her water breaks right then because he's just hit her in the stomach repeatedly. It didn't really fit with the rest of the movie. The rest of the movie was, you know, people get massacred.
Wild shift in tone.
Right. People get killed and then they don't really come back. You know what I mean? Like, this person came back by having his eyes. I don't know if they were like gouged out or what exactly happened to him.
And he's behaving pretty much just like a zombie at that point.
Yeah, that's
like,
what
he's
threw
actually
me.
Acting like a zombie.
That's what threw me more than anything, because I get, okay, if he got hit in the head, or I don't know if he got shot, or I don't know what exactly happened to him.
Right.
Because you kind of hear it from, you hear it from upstairs, but you don't really fully see what happens. But then when you see that, you're like, okay, this doesn't really fit on how his character would be acting. That's what threw me, and then it leads to this brutal, brutal ending. I mean, he gets taken out because the woman is like, all right, well, you just hit her and she had the baby, and it's like she just knew she had to get rid of him. Plus, she was going to kill everybody anyway. That's just what she does. And it just leads to that final moment of the film. And you're like, that's what led to the final moment of the movie? This insane moment that just didn't need to happen?
Like, yeah.
It just felt so out of place.
And honestly, I feel like even more so with the burning off of her face. Only because of, like, it's a weird technical thing. But it's like they stay on that shot. Like
a cartoonishly long time.
Cartoonishly long time. I'm like, this could have been like, you could have gotten rid of that shot entirely. Like the weird editor part of me, I'm just like, get rid of that shot. It's like, we get it. She sprayed it with the aerosol. It blew up in her face. She's horribly burnt.
Yeah, I mean,
and we could illustrate that in the reveal. We could illustrate that in the reveal of her actual face later in the shadows.
No, I mean, you could do it about half the amount of time for that shot and then put another shot of a close-up of, like, the flesh burning or something. You know what I mean? There's a lot of other ways to go about it. It's not, you know,
really nitpicking because, again, like, it's gut-churning, it's visceral. Overall, this movie is great.
Yeah, but
the
final scene is very tough to watch. The final scene is
It very much is.
You know, with her battered and bruised, Sarah's just completely done at this point. And the woman, mangled up as she is like, we're going to get the baby out of you. And just...
boy.
Just does a very, very brutal version of a C-section.
I mean, less we talk about it, the better, but like, let's just say it's effective.
It's heart-wrenching, man. It's absolutely horrible because I remember watching this for the first time and my jaw just dropped for the rest of the movie. Like, I could not believe.
It's a tough place to conceive of. It's a tough thing to conceive of.
Yeah, well, it's not something that you expect from a movie like this. You expect for there to be, she's fought back so much that you expect her to be able to escape somehow, and she's fought back so well against this woman where she's burned most of her face off, that you're like, all right, she's got to make it, and no, it's so jarring and so shocking. And so, but so effective. And that's what makes it so effective, because it's like, I appreciate this movie for going there, for going to that level. And it almost ends like a really fucked up fairy tale with the woman holding the baby.
Oh, yeah, no, it's an alarmingly beautiful shot that this movie ends on, with like the kind of like red, like single light coming down on like this nursery rocking chair with this like horribly disfigured woman now, and like this, just it's just a red baby. It's a red baby.
But the baby is alive though, because you do hear it cry. So you're like, okay, she didn't just get a dead baby, which was what I was thinking was going to happen when the guy hit the stomach with the club. That's what I was expecting. I'm like, oh god, this is even worse now. But it's still horrifying to think that this woman ended up with the baby. Who knows what's going to happen next? That's what makes it even crazier. Are more cops going to show up and take her out? Is this going to be the beginning of something else? You know, it's it's a very twisted, demented fairy tale, almost told with like the villain as the protagonist in a weird way. Like we're following our protagonist, but it almost treats the villain as really the main character of the story, because there's this moment where you're like, oh, I understand where you're coming from, kind of. You're still evil, but for some reason, I don't know. There's something about this villain that just makes her more layered, even though...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I give this movie a lot of credit for going where it goes and, for the most part, kind of nailing it.
It only falters a few times, and that's a huge thing to do, because this, I think, was one of their first feature films.
It shows. There's a lot of unbridled enthusiasm. They go for broke on a lot of stuff, and whether or not it even works out in the end, I think the talent is showing. It's up there on screen, especially in those first 45 minutes. It's weird that we also with Martyrs that we're like, man, those first 45 minutes are crazy.
Yeah, but I don't have that many issues with the second half of this as I did with Martyrs.
No, and it's more of just like, you're kind of like, okay. Like, it's not like all right, we're making two different movies at the 45-minute mark of Martyrs. But no, I think this is a wholehearted recommend. I actually really, really, really enjoyed this, to like as unenjoyable as it was to watch. It is a enjoyable movie.
It's very brutal, and it is a very hard to watch film. That's why it's a very weird recommend for me, because I think it's a fascinating film. Amazing sound design, amazing lighting, amazing cinematography. Everything about this film I love. I really do. I think
soundtrack and cinematography are probably the biggest takeaways for me as well.
It's
a masterclass in lighting. It's such a good example of good sound design.
And it's a very special film, right? Now, the only thing about it is that it's going on a subject matter that is very difficult and would be very difficult for a lot of people to watch. So that's where I recommend it. But if this type of film makes you, if it's unsettling to you, then just don't watch it. You know, I mean, this one is really very, it's very divisive on that standpoint, but at the same time, it's so entertaining that I kind of look past that when I'm watching this, when there's a film like Martyrs where I can't really look past the brutality of that. It's a strange thing. It makes me sound like a hypocrite,
there's a lot more mean-spiritedness in Martyrs than in this movie. This is more of just a very this doesn't feel sadistic in a weird way. This doesn't feel wrong, what we're seeing, if that makes any sense. If seeing a woman get a baby cut out of her feels less wrong, I don't know. That's kind of a weird thing to say, but I think the mean-spiritedness is what we can kind of lean into here. It's there is a justifiable and ride that you were willing to go on with this movie that Martyrs just was not willing to take me on, or that I was not willing to get on.
I agree with that. I think that's very astute observation on that, because that's how I felt with it.
Exactly. So yeah. I think to wrap up, this is a solid recommend, a very good movie
very solid recommendation. If you haven't seen it, then why'd you listen to this? But you know, if you still want to watch it after what we spoiled for you, please, by all means.
All right, so what do we have in the pipeline next week, Rob?
All right, so we're gonna do something a little different. I want to have us look at 1993's Freaked, directed by Alex Winter and Tom Stern. You'll know Alex Winter as Bill S. Preston from the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey series. This movie's a lot of fun. It's kind of a weird comedy horror mix. It's definitely its own its own thing. It's very, very strange. I love it. I remember watching this that film years ago on HBO or Showtime, and they would show it all the time, and I think I saw this movie about 100 times. So, yeah, we're going to be doing that. That'll be next week. So,
all right. Well, thanks again for listening, everybody. If you like the show, feel free to give us a review on iTunes or wherever we offer reviews on that stuff. It really helps out the show. Feel free to contact us on Twitter or on email at ohthehorrorcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I am Steve Allman.
And I'm Rob Holmes.
And we'll see you next time, everybody.
Horror. Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Horror. Come. It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
Horror. When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.